Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And today we are joined by the fabulous Lucy Mangan, who is an award-winning columnist, author, mother, and a local Catford celebrity. Welcome, Lucy.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Shall we kick off? So Lucy, your work has appeared in The Guardian, Stylist Magazine, The Huffington Post, and other publications. But you didn't start off as a journalist. You started off as a lawyer. When did you switch, or why did you switch to writing?
I didn't so much switch to writing as switch away from lawyering, because it was boring yet difficult. And I thought, one of those is fair enough to put up with as a career, but two of them together, you'll be dead before, you know, before your 30.
It sounds like parenthood, so, quite honestly. Yeah. Nightmare.
Yeah, little
but you get
did
paid.
I know. Yeah, I got paid.
Oh. Anyway, so Lucy, tell us about your family.
Oh, well, you see, when people ask me that, I always start with my parents, which feels right to me. But everyone goes, "Are you married? You've got children?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, them." But you know, I've not known them half as long as I've known my parents. But yeah, I've got my parents still live in Catford, and at home I've got a husband and a 3.5-year-old boy.
And of course, your family, especially your husband, feature very heavily in your books and your column in The Guardian. How do they feel about that?
Well, I once asked my husband, who I call Tory Boy, in the columns, for reasons that were you ever unfortunate enough to meet him would become quickly apparent. And I said, "Do you mind if I, you know, call you Tory Boy and refer to you in the columns and for the readers?" And he just looked at me in bafflement and said, "What? Why would I care what Guardian readers think of me?" Yeah, fair enough. All
what
right.
a reply!
Does he read your column?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's better than that, because he likes to come down to it and go, "Oh, well, the commenters underneath are having a go at you. It's really funny." Like, what? I say, "What, are they being funny?" "No, no, no, they're being abusive, but I find it funny." Like,
okay. That's great. Fine.
I love it.
Because our husbands, Will and Pete, they don't really listen to the podcast. But then we get into like awkward situations where Pete's colleagues at work will listen to it and hear something hilarious that I've said about him. And then he'll be massively ridiculed at work and he doesn't enjoy
well,
that
I think,
very
I think,
much.
Yeah, I think my husband just likes to stay on top of things in case he
doesn't
know.
It can be quite a good way of bringing things up in your marriage, though, I found, by just publicly announcing things. And then it's a nice way of communicating, I found.
Yeah. Because you were saying just earlier you want a divorce, weren't you?
Yeah. So I just thought I'd just sort of raise it now. On a previous podcast, I was just saying that I'd really like to have a bit more sex with my husband and made him listen to the podcast. And then we had sex at night. So I feel there's actually some...
I really don't want to have sex tonight.
You know, we haven't decided on a publication date, or does that not matter? That's just general.
That's just tonight.
Yeah. What I like, Helen, is that now you've revealed on the podcast that talking about sex on the podcast got you to have sex. Now you've said that again on the podcast, I don't think Will's going to want to have sex with you again in case it goes on the podcast.
I'll keep you all posted.
Yes, do.
And his parents and everyone else who listens to it. So hello.
Yes. Hello, listeners in Pakistan. just to let you know, Helen has had sex in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, good.
Congratulations, the Thorns.
That's right. So what is domestic life like at your house? You recently wrote that you live perpetually on the edge of chaos. You sound like one of our kind. And I love the article. That was all about domestic chores, wasn't it? And they had five different Guardian writers all talking about the split of domestic chores. And you were just talking about your house. And I could identify with the picture that you painted in your words.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's all a writer hopes for.
You're welcome, Lucy Mangan.
No, well, I have this problem because my mother, I grew up in one of these houses where, you know, my parents have lived in their house 40 years now, and they could leave it tomorrow and there's no sign that either of them's ever been there.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, they've got no stuff, they've got no clutter, it's, you know, there's a chest of drawers, there's a television, there's...
That's my dream.
A shelf of books and a three-piece suite, and that's it. And I don't know how... You know, my mother's a time and motion expert. Everything's efficient. Everything's away. Everything's done. Everything's in. And then there's systems and there's dad's well trained and all the rest of it. And the older I get, the more I realise that that's actually the exception. And I don't need to feel so crushingly guilty the entire time. Because when I go to my friends' houses and normal people's houses, there is a bit of chaos. There is a bit of clutter. Not everything has its place.
There is a bit of rubbish just lying out in the front garden.
As we pulled up,
for example,
I picked you up in the station at the station today, and was very pleased driving up to my house to remember that I'd left out the front of my house a disused Bob the Builder workbench, an old potty, a plastic cash register, and just then assorted recycling that had burst out the bag, just egg boxes, you know, old nappies, just littering the front garden. Welcome to
like
my home.
It was like a home from home. It was
good, and I think that's very reassuring because I grew up in a similar house where my mum. She was just like that kind of cleaning ninja. You would go to bed and in the morning everything shone and the breakfast would be laid out.
And everything was hanging on Liberty padded coat hangers. Her mother makes these. They're amazing. They're beautiful. And like everything in your house, I'd imagine, like wallpaper.
Yeah, everything
curtains.
Ironed. Hankies. Everything had a place. There's Tupperware. There's everything. And I don't know if it's like... if anyone else feels like this, but when my house looks the way it does most of the time, I just hear my mum sucking her teeth going, like I do get the shoulders tense up going, oh, mum wouldn't, but she's in Australia, so I've run away. It's okay.
See, my mum is quite tidy, but she has quite a bit of stuff. And like growing up, we were allowed to be messy and stuff. And she came around the other day and I'm like organised about some
You're
stuff.
You're so polite about yourself.
And I'm, you can put it in your own words.
All right. Bit uptight.
Yeah, okay, fine, that's fine. And it's especially about the moment because I'm pregnant and I've got the nesting, the biology has kicked in. So I've got like a label maker and I'm like just labelling everything in my house. Like my husband has a sticker on that says twit on his forehead, like it's everything. And I did out a cupboard the other day and put all the things in Tupperware and labelled all the Tupperware. And my mum came round and Pete just went, Ray, look at this. And he opened the cupboard and my mum looked at it and she just turned to me and went, you've got OCD. I don't care because I know exactly where my trail mix is and it is in a different box to the Maltesers. So I'm happy. That makes me happy and feel good.
My mum's going to be around with adoption papers. So be very careful if I were you. Sorry. Don't open the door until...
Yeah, there was wife swap. Now here's daughter swap. Thank God, she makes sense.
I don't know, there was someone at BBC4 commissioning it before the end of...
But as I say, look inside the cupboards, you think, wow, this person's really got their life together. Look at my front garden. You think, like, this person is a tramp. Like, what
You're
what
a paradox, Ellie Gibson.
That's me. I'm an enigma wrapped in a mystery in a skip.
That's right.
That's what I am.
Smelling of old bananas. So what gets you through the day? Do you have a secret?
No.
Do you have any secrets? No.
Well, being freelance, actually, because if you don't, you know, if you don't work, if you don't hit the deadlines, you don't get paid. So that helps me, you know, I'm not chaotic with work or anything. But the rest, I get fined for late payment of this, that and the other and all the rest of it. But I can't do everything, you know.
No, that's right.
If I'm working and the child's fed and still alive every evening, I think I've done my bit.
That is success.
For God and humanity, if not my mother.
Yeah.
Tick the box. How do you cope, Helen?
I have a very good sense of humour.
Speak for yourself.
We'll be the judge of that.
An excellent sense of humour. No, like, I do have to step back and just laugh at it, because I think, and this is one thing my mum, this is my mum's mantra, is that if you don't laugh, you cry. And that's what gets me through, is that I have to have a laugh. Like earlier show.
That's what people did in the war. That's how Britain survived the Blitz, actually.
Yeah, that's it. And I
saw the singing.
I'll sing a silly song. That kind of gets me through. Or if I think of,
if you break out into a Gracie Fields number, I'm leaving. I'm not having an Australian Gracie Fields.
Again, the doors are locked. And also having really good friends I can call up and go, everything's fucked. And drinking. So that's my secret. Take that home, listeners.
Yeah.
And you, Ellie?
Yeah, drink. Yeah. Mainly just drink. Yeah. Obviously, being 6 months pregnant, maybe just a bottle or two to start the morning, take the edge off.
Yeah.
And then that'll see me through. Yeah. Usually it's about lunch.
That's it. Just mellows you.
Yeah. Arrest me! Oh, yeah, they are actually trying to do that.
Yeah, that's right. Sugar.
Well, that's enough domestic chat. Shall we have some book chat?
Book chat. I love book chat, Ellie.
Me too.
Do you want to do it?
No.
Yeah,
you've got the book.
I've got the book.
Why don't we chat about
it? Yeah, let's do that. Okay, let me do that.
There we go. That's the sound of Inside Charlie's Chocolate Factory.
That's right.
That is by Lucy Mangan. Yeah.
That's what they do on Women's Hour, isn't it? That's what Jane Garvey flicks
exactly
the book.
That. Yeah. That's why they hired her.
Yeah.
Better book flicking than Jenny Murray. She's useless.
So, Lucy, you've been quoted recently as saying you read about 100 books a year, most for pleasure, but some for work. And how do you fit this in? Like, I'm very impressed that you read that many books. Or were you lying?
No, I wasn't lying.
Good.
No. Because it was one of those things where when you're writing a column and you're writing something, you think, I don't know what to put here. What's normal? I don't know. And I couldn't tell how many, what was an average number of books if you were because I was a known sort of reader, but I didn't know how many, it was normal for a heavy reader. So I thought, I'll put the truth. I'll see how that goes. And, of course, everyone ended up going, that's a fuck of a lot. Right. And the answer is, number one, I read very fast. I always have done. And I retain nothing. And I don't do much else, to be honest. I do childcare work. I don't watch much TV because I would rather read. Mm. I'd rather watch TV than childcare or work. But reading comes first. Because if I don't read, I get... you don't want to be around me. I don't read highbrow stuff. So I just like to. That's my thing. And if it's a bit like an addiction. I really feel.
You just get a bit of a hit. You just go, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. If I can just, and it was the thing I found hardest once I'd had the baby and once I'd got over, the tearing and the broken coccyx and the postnatal depression. what I found hardest was that you've got no time to yourself anymore, and reading or doing what you like, what feels like just a hobby, it's really hard to take that time for yourself because you don't feel like you can say, Mum, I really need to read a book for half an hour. Can you take the baby, or husband, can you take him for a bit longer? And it took me a while to realise that actually I need time to read, otherwise I go mental. But it takes a while for you to learn what's going on with the baby and what's going on with you with the baby. So.
But it's good. I think you've got to be true to those things. Like if you enjoy telly, enjoy it. Or if you want to play a computer game or any of those sort of things. Or play, Candy Crush.
So let's talk about your own book. Now, this isn't your first book. You've written Hopscotch and Handbags, The Truth About Being a Girl and My Family and Other Disasters. But this new one is Inside Charlie's Chocolate Factory. Tell us what it's about.
It's a mystery, really, isn't it?
Well, it was my investigation into Sierra Leone's... No, it wasn't, no. Francesca Dowd Puffin, who I knew a little bit from columns I'd written in the Guardian about children's books, came up to me and she said, next year is the 50th anniversary of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Would you like to... And I went, yes, please. What is it? We want a book. I was like, oh, great. That's good. And so, I went and sat in the Roald Dahl Museum archives for a week and then did some reading outside of that.
So the archive's part of the museum. Whereabouts is the museum?
The museum's where he used to live in Great Missenden in Buckinghamshire. 45 minutes from Marylebone. It's very handy.
Yeah.
It's a really good museum, actually. Normally I don't go for museums because, culture.
Not even the Horniman.
I like the Horniman. I like the Walrus, but but no, it was a really nice job to do. And there's lots, and then they put it all together beautifully and did lots of pictures of the...
Yeah, it's a stunning
book. It is beautiful, isn't it?
It's really lovely. And it's a book like I'm not much of a reader, but I like a pick and mix book, you know, that you can just pick it up and go, ooh, yeah.
And you're not books about pick and mix. So really, this book is for everything for you.
It's beautifully put together, and you know, you can take it from what you will. Like you can take it, you go, ooh, I'm just interested in the films, or I'm interested in the backstory.
Yeah, you know, they've got bits about the illustrators and the stage musical, everything.
Yeah, I like the page you've just flicked to by around. There's Wilder on one side and then Depp on the other.
I know.
Who's your favourite Wonka, Lucy?
Oh, my. Gene Wilder.
Yeah. It's got to be, hasn't it, really?
Although Roald Dahl hated it.
Did he?
Hated the film, hated him especially, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He said he played it for subtle adult laughs that was all wrong, and he'd wanted Spike Milligan or Peter Sellers, so you can see.
That would have been good, yeah. Have you seen that, the condescending Wonka Twitter?
No.
And it's full of memes of that that photo of Gene Wilder where he's like with his hand, his face leaning on his hand, and then it's like these terrible memes saying things like, oh, I see there are loads of photos of you getting drunk on Facebook but none of you with your kids. You must be a really good mum. Like this one, I see you have a pair of Beats by Dr. Dre headphones. You must really know a lot about acoustics. Really good.
So just now, there's been a few articles that you wrote in the lead up to the release of the book about some of the, I guess, gems of your research.
Publicity whoring.
Okay. What were the most interesting things you found out during the course of your research, or the things you went, ooh, if you make that noise?
Nobody makes that noise apart from you.
Okay,
it's just you.
Okay, sorry.
And 8-year-olds.
Okay, that's the noise I make when I'm in Paris. Sorry,
is that a euphemism? Is that what you do when you're having your picnic sex?
No. It's just, you know, when you walk past patisseries in Paris, don't you make that noise?
Absolutely not.
Don't you go, ooh, when you see like little macaroons and dainty chocolates?
I hate macaroons.
All right.
Okay. You see any further questions?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. See where she's coming
from. That's my
definitely.
Paris noise. Anyway, carry on.
I want to hear your picnic sex noise now.
No, you don't.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, a twig litter, just pleased to see me.
Yes. What were we talking about? Yeah,
we were talking about fate.
You had a favourite fact from the book, didn't you?
Yeah, I love the fact that Oompa Loompas were called Whipple Scrumpets. Is that,
yeah,
have I pronounced it?
Yeah.
Because I think whenever you say Oompa Loompas, I mean, the first thing I do is I break into song.
Of course.
Because I'm like that. But there's all these things that are so dear, and you think that's the only name for these little people in the factory, and that's the only way it could ever be.
Yeah.
But you kind of unpick and you find all these very favourite dear things that that's what's really delightful about your book, is that thinking no, there were many versions there, were, and some things changed right at the last minute. Is that right?
Yeah, well, Whipple Scrumpets was one of them. They were Whipple Scrumpets right up to the last minute, and then what I like about that is they changed it to Oompa Loompas, and Fudge, the bar he gets for his birthday, and the bar he you know finds the golden ticket in,
yeah.
All along, it's been it's just been a marshmallow delight bar, and then because he's got this Whipple Scrumpet suddenly comes free. He renames the bar as the Whipple Scrumptious Fudgemallow Delight, and there it is. It's just
Oh, that's lovely. And have you got a favourite character in the book, or one that you can identify with?
I had all the misbehaviour beaten out of me very young as a child, so I didn't ever identified, but I did love it. Was in, and again, she survives right up till the sort of penultimate draft. There's a character called Miranda Mary Piker, who had to go because she's just another spoilt child, and obviously you've already got Violet and Veruca, who are just, you know, they're quite similar really. But Miranda Mary Piker has these terrible sort of liberal progressive parents. Well, Roald Dahl was quite an old-fashioned sort of bloke, and he was writing in the mid-60s when, as far as he was concerned, the world was going to hell in a handcart with all these hippies.
He was right!
He was completely right. But so he had this, you know, this girl, Miranda Mary Piker, who when she you know, she picks this bunch of daffodils, edible daffodils in the garden, and someone says, oh, are you going to give those to your mummy and daddy? And she goes, no, I'm going to gobble them all myself. And her mother says, you see, what an interesting child she is. And I love that, but she had to go, you can see that that's quite a subtle joke for a kid's book to be, you know, liberal parents or not.
I'd say that the sort of contemporary equivalent of that is Spirited. People say, your child's just smashed 15 china jugs and set fire to a television, and oh, he's very spirited. Yes, spirited.
I won some little girl clocked my son in some way, and my mother said, she's got such a strong sense of self. Really? Oh. I'm gonna clock you now.
To experience how strong my sense of self is in your face. Which one do you identify with, Helen?
I love Veruca Salt. I'm nothing like her, of course, but I love Veruca Salt. I like Lucy from Peanuts. I love that strong, feisty girl. That because I was quite shy as a child, so I love that she's, you know, just a bit of an asshole, really. I'm more fond of the film because I love the girl who plays Veruca Salt and her.
She helped me a lot with the book, actually, Julie Dawn Cole. She was great, and she has such, you know, happy memories of making the.
She disco danced next to me.
Did she?
Yeah, in 2005, I was in the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I told you I was going to say this story.
Not an interesting anecdote.
Lucy Megan wants to hear this song.
Perhaps she'll write a book about it. Perhaps she'll inspire her. Go on, tell it the story.
Okay, all right, so Matt Hardy was doing this show with Veruca Salt, and at the after party thing, she was disco dancing next to me, and I felt like $1 million. That's it. That's all I'm saying. All right. Okay.
What do you think of that story, Lucy? Do you think that's you're going to write another based on that?
I'm going to write another chapter immediately.
Helen's other favourite anecdote is that she's got the same birthday as Stefan Dennis. That's it. In Helen's world, that's what passes for touching fame.
Australia's such a large country, so little to say.
Lot to think about, though, really. Okay, all right, shall we move on? Ellie.
Good story,
now, dude.
I will. What's your favourite sweet in the book, Lucy? Because that was the thing. I loved the book as a child, but the thing that I really loved, I liked the characters, but I really loved the idea of these everlasting gobstoppers and these, just these amazing rooms. Oh, the wallpaper.
Oh, the licky wallpaper.
Have you seen the life hack for how to make your own lickable wallpaper?
No.
There's like, if you Google it, there's quite a few now. There's like parents have made for their kids these lickable, you get the food and you bake it, and it's all a bit.
Because my son likes
what interesting fat children they are.
Very spirited.
My kids like licking bits of public transport.
To go to the arse of making lickable.
No, just lick the pole in the tube.
So yeah, what was your favourite confection?
I was never that big on sweets. I always liked chocolate, but I wasn't. My mother wouldn't allow us to eat chocolate or indeed sweets. But you'd have one after tea. Sometimes I can't remember the rules exactly.
And after 8 mint, was it? Was it classy like?
No, it wasn't classy. No.
Matchmaker.
So, it'd be a penny sweet or something. But, I like the Whipple Scrumptious Fudge Mallow Delight.
Did you have a favourite
in the book?
Favourite sweetie?
Yeah, I think it was the Everlasting Gobstopper. Yeah. Just the notion of a sweet that you could, you know.
Oh, the notion of a sweet that could taste like roast chicken, I'm fascinated by it to this day.
Well, yeah. That was a chewing gum.
When she turned into the blueberry.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
Have you got a sweet that you would create or in your imagination, Lucy?
No, I've got cool imagination. I've never, no.
Chewing gum changes flavours, but to all different kinds of cheese.
Oh.
1 minute it's brie, then it's boursin, then it's camembert, then it's Stilton. Who knows what's coming next? So exciting. Why has nobody made mozzarella chewing gum? That seems to me like a natural fit.
We're not on this
face. Because of this face that we're both doing when you said it. That's why.
Well, I think you missed a trick, Italians. Get on it. That's what I say.
Come on. This could be the booster economy needs.
This could be it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lucy, you gave up sugar and sweets at the beginning of the year. Have you managed to conquer this addiction, or how's life? Have you moved
Robert
on?
Palmer, surrounded by women in short black dresses, just waving curly whirlies at you wherever you go.
I'm just mainlining Twix. At this no, it didn't last that long, but it made me realise I was addicted, and I realised I was addicted. So
there we go.
So what's next for you, Lucy? What book are you working on now?
I'm working on a book about children's books, a book about the history of children's literature.
Which brings us neatly to... Can we have a theme tune, please, Helen?
Memory Lane. Ooh.
I like that. Do you like our jingles? We write them all ourselves.
Wow. Just original content. So let's have a general chat about books about children. Or should I not just read that from
books about children.
Okay, learned friend.
So let's talk about the books we loved as children. Lucy, I'm guessing obviously Roald Dahl was a big thing for you, as for me and for Helen as well.
Yeah, I think I covered all the basics. Yeah, Roald Dahl, Charlotte's Web, Stick of the Dump, Family from One End Street, I love.
Were you an Enid Blyton fan?
Oh, I loved Enid Blyton, yeah.
Are you more Famous Five or Magic Far Away Tree?
Oh, Famous Five. I didn't, for some reason, come across the really young ones, the Far Away Tree and Amelia Ann and all that kind of thing. But I started with Secret Seven and Famous Five and Mallory Towers and St. Clair's. Oh.
I think that's why I'm in England today, because of those books.
Yeah.
I just wanted to frolic in a hill with some dogs and jolly children. Yeah. You know, she's gorgeous.
Well, the Mallory Towers gave me a real shock because I loved all those books. I read the Trebizond books as well.
I wrote my friend, instead of revising my A-levels, I wrote my friend a pornographic version of because she was mad on Trebizond. And so I wrote a sort of humorous but pornographic one. I've never written anything better since. I've just been downhill
That's called slash fiction when you get something.
I think it was early slash fiction.
Slash fiction.
I wrote a Mallory Towers parody for my school magazine, where it was all about
pornographic parody,
breaking each other's legs with hockey sticks and all this. Yeah. And like, it was, I got the most laughs, including during my comedy career, than I've ever had. I got the best reception of anything
Have you ever had as much of a laugh as you did at school with your mates? I haven't.
I was very badly bullied.
I say plural, mates plural, no.
Yeah. With Sally, my imaginary friend George.
My imaginary friend Sally, who I wrote the pornographic parody for.
That's it. But Mallory Towers did sort of spoil me a bit for school, because I read all the Mallory Towers books, and then so I thought secondary school, or I thought it was a boarding school, but I thought it was going to be all, you know, wonderful wood panelled walls and midnight feasts and trunks. And I got there, you know, and it was this, like, you know, comprehensive in Southeast London.
Dogs
and
abuse.
Just kids decking each other and calling each other lesbians for 8 hours a day. It was just horrible. It was awful. So thanks for that, Enid. So you read all the classics of children's literature, but did you have any secret rubbish? Me and my friend Jessie, who's been on the podcast a lot, we used to love Sweet Valley High.
Oh, yes, who didn't?
Do you remember that?
The Golden Lavaliers for their 16th birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember, I think it was number 40, where Regina Morrow took cocaine at a party and died?
She did die.
It was the most exciting thing that had ever happened.
You do die.
Because she had a heart condition, and Nicholas was broken-hearted. Do you remember?
Was it Nicholas? I thought she was Todd's.
No, her brother was Nicholas.
Brother, sorry, yeah.
But,
yeah.
It was always a slightly weird relationship.
It was always a bit hunky, wasn't it?
It was a bit, yeah. And when she died, he was a bit like, you got the feeling, you know, what went on when he closed that door at night with the framed photograph of his sister? Do you know what I mean? It was a bit much.
It left some questions.
Suburban Californian sublimation is what you're saying.
I'm just saying I'm a very sick-minded individual.
I think you've minded the gutter, certainly.
Yes. So did you like Sweet Valley High?
I like Sweet Valley High, yeah. Oh, yeah, I read anything. I've never,
You don't discriminate.
Yeah, and my parents were never those kind of parents who were like, oh, no, you mustn't read. Just, oh, she's reading. Someone's reading. Great.
My very favourite books, which I would buy for any small girl, are the Song of the Lioness books by Tamora Pierce. Have you read those?
I don't know
those. But it's about this girl called Alana. And she grows up in this world where if you're a girl, you go off and you become a sorceress. And if you are a boy, you grow up and you become a knight. And she doesn't want to be a sorceress. So she swaps places with her twin brother, who wants to be a sorcerer. And she, like, pretends to be a boy. But it deals with, like, real stuff. Like, she has to bind her boobs. And, it deals with her having her periods and how she stops herself getting pregnant. Which is, like, a bit of nonsense hokum to do with, like, a lucky charm that she wears that a red-headed gypsy gives her. But, still. And were there any books like that for you, Lucy, that really didn't just enjoy, but kind of had an impact on how you felt about yourself
I used to love... There were two... When I was a bit younger, so sort of 8, 9, 10, there was the Gwen Grant books. And the first one was called Private Keep Out, and there were three of them. And they were just the funniest. They're about this northern family in a mill town just after the war. And it was the first time I'd read any book that actually, I didn't know the word sensibility then, but it had my family's sensibility because we were northern and we were always a bit, my family was a bit different. And it wasn't that we were posh. It wasn't that we were, I couldn't get a handle on it. And then I read this book where, they'd all talk to each other like, what did your slave die of? A broken neck. Oh, well, that's nice, isn't it? I suddenly realised, they were different, because until then, you have got Enid Blyton and everything, but they're the critics are right. It is all very kind of white middle class, and a very narrow band of white middle class within that.
What about Bloom? Judy, not Mister.
I've interviewed her.
Have you?
Met her, interviewed her, Waterstones, Piccadilly, a few months ago, and by the end it was just this room full of weeping 30-something women.
Oh, wow. Was she amazing?
Oh, she was amazing. She was everything you wanted her to be.
No, it's interesting because I'm reading, my daughter's 6, so we can just start to read. I've just read her, like, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and her name's Matilda, so we've read Matilda twice now and gone to see the show and everything. But those things just have a real impact. And even because she listened, we have, like, Radio 4 on, and she hears about the war, and then she said, but Mummy, does that mean I'm going to go to the countryside then? Because the war is coming, And that I find that so delightful that she just thinks we're going to put her on a train because the war is coming.
And you said, yes, we are. Six-zone travel cars. Off you go.
That's right. Off you go to Swanley.
See you in 5 years.
That's right.
Mind the bombs.
Yeah, that's right. And that's I quite like that. And I read her the BFG, and then we were just on the train station at Honorite Park the other day, and she said, when I was 16, you and Daddy died, and then a giant came, and he just took me away, and he was so nice to me, Mummy, and she just started...
I told you to supervise her internet activity a bit more closely. Jesus.
My husband and I realised we've actually read too much to our son, because he was lying back in the bath. We were trying to, rinse the soap off his hair about a year ago, and he lay back, and he went, no, don't, I beg of you. Which is a line from the Rose Red and Snow White Ladybird.
there's been quite a few blockbuster series of kids' books in recent years. Obviously Harry Potter and the Hunger Games and all that. Do you think this is a sort of new golden age of children's literature, or do you think they're all modern rubbish?
I don't know. A sort of golden age of children's literature marketing, certainly. the thing about a lot of that, young adult stuff like Hunger Games, is that if you break the figures down, there are actually so many, I think it's about a third, is being bought by 30-something women.
I don't know what you mean.
Now that sort of Georgette Heyer and people have fallen by the wayside, it's coming away from chick lit, and apparently it's sort of all attaching onto YA.
Yeah, I have read all the Hunger Games books, so I have to say.
They're at least as complex as any chick lit, so it's not a matter of sort of dumbing down or anything. It's just growing interest in darker stuff.
And I love reading Harry Potter. But it reignites that excitement as a child going into a fantasy land, and that's really nice, especially as a mother of small children when it can be at times quite not fun.
Yeah,
I quite like really dull and really hard.
Like, I've read all the Harry Potters, and I did, apart from the last one, which I just wanted to throw out the window after page 975, when they're still camping. Stop camping! Do some magic! So boring.
Okay, so next up, we're going to do a quiz. And it's not just any kind of quiz, is it, Ellie? It's a Catford quiz.
Yes, yes.
It is. Oh.
It's the quiz to end all quizzes.
That's right. They said it couldn't happen. So we record the podcast in Catford. Lucy is from Catford. Ellie is from Catford. And I am not. So I will play the quiz master.
I'm technically from Peckham, but that's
okay,
all right.
Okay, that's
on.
Fine. Yeah. That's fine. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about Catford or a Chatford.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I see what she did there.
I have made a very special prize. So whoever wins a prize gets to... I mean, sorry, start again. Whoever wins the quiz gets my special handmade prize.
Ooh!
Now we're talking about Catford today. Now, it's a special part of southeast London because we do have international listeners. Could you describe it for our international listeners, Lucy Mangan?
I think I wrote about it in a column once, and I think I called it the place where hope, if it doesn't come to die, at least comes for a lie down and a think about what to do next.
Yes.
That ideally hopes it has the energy to move on to Blackheath and Greenwich.
Yes, yeah. Right. So you're a very pretty picture there. So what was it like growing up here as a child? Although I think I can kind of get a flavour from your general tone, Lucy.
It was slightly dangerous and...
mostly stressful.
Mostly stressful and displeasing to the eye.
Okay, there we are. So that's Catford for...
We used to play it when Dad... used to take us to the shops to get a paper or some sweets or something. We used to play a game of how many dog turds you could spot on the way. Our record was, it was about 120-yard stretch between the nearest shops, sweet shop, and our house. And our record was 72 dog turds on the way.
of course, you had white ones in them
white
days.
Ones, yeah, absolutely. White ones, we used to get different scores. Once the game developed, we used to get different scores depending on how fresh or stale they were, how white they'd gone.
I am so excited about this Catford quiz, Helen. I don't think I can wait
another second. Let's just get on.
I'm actually genuinely quite nervous.
Yeah. Are you? Yeah. Well, that's because it's just because you don't want the prizes. Could be something we make you eat.
True. All right, now... Oh, sorry.
Will it be a delight to the ear, eye, or...?
Hey, well, none of the above. I can promise you that.
All right, now, it's a Catford quiz. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, as a buzzer, one of you could meow and one of you could go broom. So Cat Ford.
I'll meow.
You'll meow, okay.
Go
for it.
Let's
have the Catford quiz.
Da, right. Da, da, da,
da, da, da. Okay, now, if you were standing on Catford Briggs Station, which bus would you not see go past you? The 75, the 37, the 171, the 181, or the 185?
Meow, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think it was the second one. I can't
remember.
Yeah, the 37?
The 37,
yeah.
One to Lucy!
Damn it!
Thank you.
God, I hate this already.
Bring it on.
Right. Number two. Which of the following isn't a Catford takeaway place? Oh My Cod, Wonky Chinese, Hippie Chicken, or Chick Chicken?
Broom.
Yeah.
Chick Chicken.
Incorrect.
Oh, damn it.
Meow. Do I get the first one?
Oh My Cod.
No, that's real.
That's real.
That is real. That's quite recent, to be fair.
Yeah.
That's quite a recent addition.
So, Oh My Cod, Wonky, it's actually Happy Chicken, not Hippie Chicken.
Oh, you said Hippie Chicken.
That's right. There because Hippie Chicken is wrong, but it's actually called Happy Chicken, and I did a twist.
Ah. She out-vowed you.
Yeah. There we go.
Right, so...
One to Helen, I believe.
Well done, you.
Okay.
You get to win your own present. Congratulations.
Okay. How many chocolate bars can you buy at Catford Little for £2?
Ooh.
4, 7, 19, or 469?
Brum.
Yes, Ellie.
I'm going to say 19.
Correct.
Yes. Back in the game.
That's right. The Broadway Theatre. Which year was it built?
Ooh.
1933, 1932, 1940, or 1928? Have a guess,
Lane. Wow, 28.
Incorrect, Mangan.
33.
Incorrect, Gibson.
Now 30.
Incorrect.
Now 40.
No!
41, 42, 43, 44, 45.
1932. All right.
Oh, I knew it was 32 or 33 because... I knew that you would like just do the find the answer and then just bother to add one number to that number.
Correct. half a point for being an asshole. Okay.
You can have a Helen quiz after this.
That's all right. Okay. The Catford Cat. How old is she?
Oh. In cat years or human years?
Human years. We're okay. going for... Thank you, Gibson. 40, 35, 51 or 29?
40.
Correct!
Yes!
We should have
hang
a party.
On, hang on, it can't be 40.
Why?
Because I remember it going up.
Well, on the internet it said 1974.
Yeah, and I took issue with this in my column, I think. Oh. Because I remember it. I remember it going up and everyone being like, oh my God, what's happened here?
Because
and I must have been about six or seven.
Oh, okay.
That one void
okay.
Because I really must take issue.
Okay.
Are you saying that sometimes information on the internet is incorrect? Because
I'm
I take
saying...
issue with that as an assumption, quite frankly.
I'm saying I have been into this issue and there has been a mistake.
Fine. And finally, just for a bonus point, where does Catford get its name from?
Nobody knows.
So, the internet has told me that it comes from the 13th century and it may also owe its name to a ford over the rivers Ravensbourne, and some sources say there were wildcats around this area.
Mm.
Well, I contest that. I don't contest that because I remember when Catford was first established in the 13th century and it was actually named after Catherine the Great, obviously of Russia, who came here to invade London in a Ford Cortina.
Very nice.
Thank you. Thank Can you. I have a point, please?
No. Lucy Mangan is the winner.
Oh,
so she
God.
Gets my handmade prize.
Yay.
What I've made for you today.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I have no part of this. I just want you
no,
to know.
No, I look, ready?
Look!
I've made Lucy Mangan of The Guardian dark chocolate
dark
cat.
Dark chocolate cat, just like the Catford cat.
Oh, have I broken them? No, they're still intact.
Oh, thank goodness. We wouldn't want to ruin the very professional finish
yes,
that you've achieved on those.
There
That's
we go.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Mm. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I'm all right, thank you. No, I don't want
you.
I don't want to. My mouth is already full of bitterness. I don't need any dark chocolate. Thank you.
Well,
you enjoy them, you two. I hope you're very happy together.
A taste of victory.
We are.
Anyway, yes, well, congratulations, Lucy.
Thank you.
I'm very
genuinely
jealous. Yes.
And well done to me for writing such a good quiz.
Yeah, excellent yes. quiz.
Excellent.
And I was disparaging Helen about your idea for this prize, but Lucy either is a very good actress or is genuinely touched.
Oh,
so
touched.
Well done,
thank
everyone,
you.
Except me.
Yeah.
Grumpy
pants.
All round excellent, except...
That's fine.
This aching void to my right.
Yeah. That's right. So we have come to the end of the podcast, but before we go, we always like to finish off with a Scummy Mummy Confessions. Do you want me to kick off, Ellie?
Please.
Well, I think hugely successful parenting life and possible failures.
I've got a really fabulous neighbour who I adore. She's one of those amazing women. She's won an OBE. She works for the BBC. And whenever I see her, I want to say something really cool and impress her.
What's she doing living in Catford?
Oh, I don't know.
A terrible
for the culture. For the culture. And I was talking to her the other day, and for some reason, I did a very large audible fart, but I pretended that it was all okay. I did this large fart and then I just went like that's okay.
Yeah. Remedial stuff. Right.
It was so embarrassing.
What was the thinking? Was there any
I don't know, because I was just like,
amazing.
Oh, yeah,
if
we're going
she thinks
with...
I'm a human percussionist, it will all move me well.
That's all right. We will.
She may even get me a gig on BBC 7.
That's right. I don't know what came over me. Because, you know,
I like doing... it. I'm going to start doing it every time.
Don't suggest it to her, because the next stage is that she does it in front of this woman, farts and then claps every time. It's just a thing. It's a thing I do. Have you not heard of it? It's a thing in Clerkenwell.
Oh.
Do you want gentrifying? I'll give you gentrifying.
Oh, I love it.
God,
I love it.
So embarrassing.
Do you know what I want you to do? I want you to do that at my funeral. In the middle of, like, the eulogy, I want you to fart and then... That's so funny.
Take that with you, listeners.
Really. Oh, we're starting trends here today. God. We really are.
Oh God, help me.
Oh dear, I don't think I can compete with that. No, really, no, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
So I've got a Catford. At least it's topical. I've got a Catford related confession.
Yeah.
So I remember when Charlie was 4 days old.
Yeah.
Right. So one of his first ever outings, possibly the first ever out of the house.
Yeah.
Me and Pete took him to Nando's Catford. And then I was at like a baby group, I think a few weeks later, and there was like a dad there, and he was like, oh, no child of mine will ever set foot in a McDonald's. And I just went, yeah, Charlie's 4 days old, we took him to Catford Nando's. And he looked at me like I just said, you know, when Charlie was 4 days old, we showed him some pornography and gave him gin. Like, it was just like the worst thing. Yeah.
It's
just weird.
Oh, God.
So actually, I suppose it's a confession, but really, I'm obviously actually quite proud of that.
Yeah.
Don't care. Lucy, do you have a confession for us?
I don't know. Mine's more of us just a litany of far more dismal failures. Like,
oh, we love this list of failures. Yeah, it makes us feel better.
Turning up the last day of last term at nursery, and they're all in fancy dress, and I'm looking at my poor child's walk. Like, oh, was it fancy dress today? and his teacher, yes, it is. But don't worry, we keep a few clothes in the back here for those children.
What she meant was those mothers.
Your child.
Oh, that's...
And, you know, fortunately, he's only three, and, you know, he wasn't young enough, wasn't old enough to kind of feel bad or, you know, or feel angry or let down by me or anything.
Mm.
But, you know, I have no plans not to do that again. So yeah. he will get to that age and I will do it again and it'll be worse. And I've managed to lose all the proofs that they sent home of his first ever... school photo. So I've missed the deadline for getting one and I've lost the proofs and I probably held up because I kept getting notes home saying we have to have them all in before we can send off our order. Please. I don't know where they are and I can't write in and go, we have lost them.
You know what he looks like.
Yeah.
You've got a camera on your phone.
He's here all the time. His father has literally taken 30,000 pictures of him and they are on our computer. I could reconstruct him in real time if I wanted to. And I look forward to looking at that first year somehow.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much. I think
it's
we've sort
pleasure.
Of reached
thank
the end of the podcast. But thank
me.
You, Lucy. You've been a fantastic guest. And your book, Inside Charlie's Chocolate Factory, is out now.
Everyone is fond of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and they'll be very fond of this book. So thank you for writing it, and thank you for coming
pleasure.
On the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, and thank you for being close enough that I can walk home.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening to the podcast. As always, if you would like to send us your Scummy Mummy confessions, it's scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
And we're on Twitter @scummymummies, and our website is scummymummies.com, and you can listen to other podcasts there as well.
We still have a few live shows to go before I pop, so a bit like Violet Beauregard.
That's right.
Do check scummymummies.com for details on those.
Give us a lovely review on iTunes. Go on. Go on then.
Won't take a minute.
No.
Cost you nothing, Governor. It's nearly Christmas.
And and thanks for listening. So goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.